What is up, guys? Welcome to the WAN Show. We've got a great show lined up for you guys today, with the big headline topic obviously being that Jensen's Kitchen was a lie. NVIDIA reveals that the GTC 2021 keynote was fake. It was fake. It was a rendering. It was a simulation. So we're going to, I actually haven't seen the footage. Luke has looked through it, and he's going to play a little game with me where I'm going to try and find the fake Jensen. I'm actually really excited about this.
It'll be interesting.
Newegg has allegedly been bundling bad power supplies, like not faulty, but just terrible. Bad power supplies with graphics cards in an effort to dump them. This was unearthed by Steve from Gamers Nexus, and so you know that it's going to be good. Let me just say, the sparks have flown. There are flown sparks.
I believe quite literally, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
What else we got?
ASUS might be teaming up with Noctua to create a RTX 3070, and there's lots of Samsung stuff. We're going to talk about it.
Oh, there's tons of Samsung stuff, and some of it's pretty awesome. All right, let's roll this intro.
Yes.
Why don't we jump right into the headline topic? NVIDIA revealed. Where's the actual original article from this thing? Hold on.
I got it.
Here we go. So Tech Radar posted this article. I actually read it earlier this week. Jensen's Kitchen was a lie. NVIDIA reveals that their GTC 2021 keynote was nearly 100% fake. And okay, Luke, is it worth us taking a second and having a look at NVIDIA's video here, showing the behind the scenes? Can I do that?
I think this whole thing is extremely confusing because the wording used by all parties involved is either extremely vague, incorrect, or just like not how you should word that, because it seemed borderline intentionally confusing.
Can I just show them the teaser then? Just show them the teaser.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to show them the teaser. All right. Here we go.
Need to see what you're showing.
GTC first.
Okay. I'm just going to mute this. So check this out. They had this goal where they wanted to create Jensen's Kitchen and Jensen himself. Okay. Hold on. Blah, blah, blah. Here we go. So we are going to make virtual Jensen Kitchen, real-time materials, real-time textures. Okay, digital twin of the thing. Wait, this is the wrong one. Where's the bloody... This one. Here we go.
There we go.
Okay. So they show us how they constructed Jensen's Kitchen using this Omniverse thing. Okay, Bionic Vision Lab, blah, blah, etc. Hold on. Where's the bloody footage?
Well, I timestamped it all.
The original keynote. No, what am I looking for?
It's all in the doc. The three later timestamped YouTube links are all sections of that video that talk about this.
Okay. I just want to find... Oh, here it is. So here's where they're creating the fake Jensen. This is super cool. So here we got the... Yeah, there we go. So they put him in this like huge camera rig. This is amazing. They take all these pictures of him and then boom. We get fake Jensen, leather jacket and everything. They worked on like how the materials stretch. Okay, so we got
him. Don't look too much further into it.
Okay, we got look at this. Look at this. They're removing like the hair and everything. Crazy town.
Don't look too much further into it.
Okay, all right. I won't look any further into it. Anyway.
So the point is, fine. Original article title, Jensen's Kitchen was a lie. NVIDIA reveals GTC 2021 keynote nearly 100% fake, right? Okay.
Yes.
Remember that original title? You saw what they were doing. They got him in this truck. It's a truck that pulls up to Jensen's house. They take pictures of him, all this kind of stuff. They got really professional people modeling him, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there's an update to this article. NVIDIA responded to the article. Remember, the title is saying nearly 100% fake, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
NVIDIA reaches out and says, in quotes, through all but 14 seconds of the hour and 48 minute presentation from timestamp to timestamp.
Yeah.
Huang himself spoke in the keynote. The company's blog post now reads.
Oh, okay.
Spoke. So I don't know if it's just voice or not, because they have technology that can simulate voice. So I don't know. And I'll go into why it's a little confusing at first, because the first time I read that, I was like, oh, it's super obvious, right? Yeah. But then you see, and I'll show you timestamps for this later, you see different model versions of him that look incredibly realistic, but then there's other ones that don't. So I'm going to give you three timestamps.
Okay.
And you're going to have to guess the 14 seconds that they are claiming.
Okay.
So your first timestamp starts at 37:22.
Okay. Okay. So let me bring it up here. 37:22. Okay. And I have to, I guess I have to do it without listening to it. Okay. So here we go. 37:22. And I watched.
You can listen to it. So it won't make a difference.
Okay. So he's just in a little tiny corner though.
Yes. I tried to. Yes.
Okay. Am I allowed to watch it more than once?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And I'm not looking at chat right now, guys, because I don't want it to tip me off. I don't want you guys to tell me which ones are the simulated Jensen.
And which ones aren't. As we're going through this, I want people to remember the original title. GTC 2021 keynote nearly 100% fake.
Yeah.
You got to remember the original title, okay?
Okay.
Let me know as you're jumping through these timestamps.
Okay, all right. Hit me with the next one.
54:15.
Okay. 54:15. Okay. Four more seconds here. Okay.
So you're still not sure, right?
I mean, honestly, they both looked kind of fake. I don't think he was breathing in the first one.
Interesting.
And in the second one, I'm just going to watch the second one more time here. It looks like the way his hair is moving around his neck is a little kind of unnatural, but he also might just have a lot of hairspray in it.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. I've got some people in Flowplane chat trying to call which one they think is fake. There's a fair amount of people that think it's 54:15. Now I want you to jump to 102:41.
102:41. All right, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Here I go, boys. Oh, that looks very fake.
Are you sure?
His legs look like... Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, I said that one looked very fake before he disappeared. But then that also could have just been a VFX thing.
It could have.
Yeah,
body movements when you're on camera are tough, right? So maybe try to like blow up the video and focus in a little bit more on his face specifically.
Okay, but I'm at a different timestamp now earlier. So okay, hold on a second. I'm blowing it up. I'm looking at stuff here. I gotta confess, it's very challenging. Because apparently part of the process, I do know this already. Apparently part of the process was they actually recorded his mannerisms as well. So like if he has a particular way of fidgeting, it's supposed to fidget in the same way that he does. Yeah.
Okay. Audio, it's really cool.
Okay, so I have to pick one, and this is not one of those misleading challenges where I, by picking one, I screw myself over. Like it's one of them.
One of these is, well, we'll talk about that, but one of these is definitely it.
Okay. Okay. Can I have the timestamps one more time? I'm sorry. You guys can play along. Here, I'll link
straw poll it.
I'll link the video. All right, here we go. I'm gonna link the video in the chat without reading the chat. I'm defocusing my eyes so that I will not read the chat. It is now linked. Wow, fortunately YouTube is moving so fast I don't even have to worry about it.
Do you want me to straw poll it?
Yeah, sure. Hit it with the straw poll. We'll see if you guys get it right. But hit me with those timestamps one more time.
37:22.
All right. I know what I'm gonna look for this time. I'm going for it. I'm going for gold. Okay, 37:22. That's kind of cheating because he doesn't say anything. Oh, I wonder if that's my hint. Maybe that's my hint.
Your float plane, I'm firing it to you guys.
37:22. All right. That would certainly be the easiest one to do it with. Okay, what's the next one again?
54:15.
54
Twitch, 15. I'm going to be dropping it in the chat momentarily. Here it goes.
Okay. I'm looking at 54:15 now.
I'm going to YouTube now.
Okay. Okay, I'm ready for the next one.
102:41.
102:41. And this is the one that's kind of trippy because he like disappears in the middle of it. But that yes. could just be a visual effect. That doesn't.
They're doing some interesting visual effects here. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say that because that last one looks so much like a green screen, I'm calling first one. I think it's the first one where he's in the corner and doesn't say anything. Because I'm pretty sure I saw him reading the prompter in the second one. So I know it's not that one. And then the third one, I feel like you put in just to throw me for a loop. So I'm not doing it. I'm taking the first one. Okay.
Okay.
Are we going to show the straw poll results first? Let them vote?
We can. Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
I fired the straw poll over to you.
Okay.
Wow. I'm gonna bring it up.
It's really even.
Really? Okay. Let's show these results, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see what you guys thought. Oh, wow.
I'm actually stunned.
I mean, this gives us some idea. If the goal for NVIDIA was to be validated that it's very hard to tell the difference, I mean, I think that pretty much says it all. And I mean, I'm looking for things that I wouldn't even expect an average person to look for, like the fact that I'm watching for if the host is reading a teleprompter, because that's something that I would recognize very easily. Not everyone would think about that.
Unless the machine learning would go off of mannerisms, right? So if he practiced in front of a teleprompter.
I guess that's true, but I doubt they would be able to get that exactly right. Unless they basically recorded his rehearsal and played it back, which is kind of a hack. I consider that kind of a cheat. That's not a simulated person. That's a recording of a person. That's mocap. We have that already. That's not new. So that's my defense of that if they did that, I think it's
which one did you vote for again?
Pearl. I said the first one was fake.
The first one, so that was 37:22.
Yes.
What I'll tell you is the one that won the poll, mm-hmm. so the most votes came in for 54:15.
Yep.
That one is not it.
That one is not it. So it was the last one then?
I will also say that the one that you chose was not it.
Really? So
it was the last one.
It was the last one. Oh, interesting. I mean, I did say the first time around, I jumped out and I was like, that looks really unnatural. But yeah.
I will give them this, it's mostly the body movement that looks unnatural. I think they, I don't know if I want to say cheat, but I think they put themselves in a beneficial position. I'll say that much.
By having him so far away.
Zoomed way out. Yeah. So his face is not as easy to see. Now, again, they only say speak. And if you go to, give me one second. Okay. Go to 102:28.
Sure. Yep. Done. Here you can see him reading the teleprompter.
And play from there, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So you see how it, like, grabs him he looks like he's changed and slightly displaced. And then the kitchen has a big difference as well. Like, look at the side of the frame. Replay that shift and like pay attention to the edge.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can see it.
So everything changes, right? Yeah. So I had to timestamp, and I think they did this properly actually. But I made sure that the timestamp
right
didn't
there
show that change. So you right see there a noticeable change, which makes me think that the rest of the presentation is not simulated. And the fact that this is confusing at all is a huge credit to the people that worked on this, to be real.
Yeah.
Watching the kitchen deconstruction is like really cool. They pointed out that a bunch of the things in the kitchen are like, there's a can of like cooking oil or something. I don't remember exactly what it was. And it was rebranded to like an NVIDIA product. And like, there's a little Lego figure of Jensen. And there's like a few other things in there that are kind of cool. But yeah, once you see that part of the transition where it noticeably shifts, it makes it so that this next part being the fake part is a little bit more obvious.
Right, that makes sense.
It stood out to me mostly because of the body movement, but there is some confusing parts. So the continued timestamps that I have further on in the doc.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So this is where it's like, okay, they said it was just 14 seconds, and maybe it was. If you look at this first one, if you watch it till 2708, which is a little bit of time, they show like, okay, this is the first version of the face that we got. They have the 3D model obviously rendered and sitting there rotating and trying to talk. And it's like, yeah, that's obviously fake.
Yeah.
But the guy in the video is saying like, yeah, it's pretty good, but it's not photorealistic. And then they go forward.
Sorry, which one am I at?
You're at the first one.
You got to just tell me the time. I'm just clicking on it.
Give me one sec. I will get it.
Oh no. Live show.
2630.
Okay. All right. So here, let's have a look at this, guys. NVIDIA Omniverse 2630. I don't see a head talking.
Just click the link in the doc. It's timestamped. Okay. Maybe everything I just said is wrong. What is real? ? The link right below that.
Okay.
Right here.
Oh, this is a completely different video. All right, then. Oh, wow. Yeah, that does not look
Doesn't look real at all, right? So that's the first version that they had.
Right.
And he says, like, okay, it's not that great or whatever.
But
once Blue Jacket guy goes away.
Yeah.
And you get to this, they show, like, example, driving, and result. The result is insane.
Oh, wow.
The result is, like, bonkers. And this goes on for a little bit, and they show a few different versions of this, and the like the tuned in versions of what they have is amazing.
So basically, instead of using an actor for a deep fake, they're using kind of a decent 3D animation as the source for their what is essentially then a deep fake.
And then they used a mocap actor.
For the
motions. But then, like,
and this is using AI. Yeah, right. So machine learning.
And then you see, like, how good that is because it looks rather incredible, right?
Yeah, it looks great.
Now, if you you don't want to click on the second link, give me a sec. I'll get you a timestamp.
Oh, no, I'll click the second link now that I know.
It's just 28 minutes.
The problem is just that I have I'm having a really hard time seeing the top of my display because of my lights. I actually can't like see the tabs up there. It's blinding. Anyway, the point is, yep, here we go. I'm at it.
So they show that incredible example.
Yeah.
And then they show this, and now I'm like, well, that example was so good. I don't know if this person here is actually him or if it's digitally rendered because the previous example was so fantastic. But what he's saying is that they had him like sit there and do these motions. So it's like, okay, this is probably actually him. and they said that they got these motions and stuff 3 or 4 days before the keynote, which is like, wow, that's really not a lot of time. Around. Yeah. And then it shows him constructing at 28, like 14, 15, it shows him specifically constructing that 14 second scene.
Right. Okay.
So then I think it is the 14 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, there it is. Man, pretty cool.
It's cool that it's kind of, I wish they, were more clear.
Yes.
But it's cool that it's so confusing, because that means they clearly did a really good job.
Yeah. They did a really darn good job of it. That headline from Tech Radar is extremely misleading.
I tried to lean into it as much as I could, because when you're looking at this connecting to the metaverse video, like I said, there's versions, there's results that they have that are like, holy cow. And this is the video that TechRadar was watching to write this article.
Okay.
And the video is a little confusing.
Jared's tech just blew my mind. You finish your thought, and then I'm going to blow your mind in turn. It's going to be great.
So I can understand why it was confusing to TechRadar. I think they should change their title. But after watching this video, I like, part of me kind of believed, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. I don't know.
Jared's tech says they need to remake Shrek with this. So you basically use the original Shrek as your source, right? For your deepfake. And then you create like new higher resolution, like photorealistic Shrek and Donkey and Fiona and Farquaad. Man, that'd be sick.
I feel like, wait, so you're deepfaking an animation, or are you trying to put that onto something that looks more real? Is that what you're saying?
So you're basically like doing a remaster of Shrek, but with like machine learning, like deepfake technology.
Gotcha.
Oh yeah. Or you could just like remaster it.
Remaster Shrek. Yeah.
But the problem with remastering Shrek is that it's already a masterpiece, so it's It's just not possible.
But yeah, I don't know. After watching the connecting in the multiverse video, it was a little confusing, and I was on the believe train, where I was like, maybe they did do the whole thing, but no, apparently it was just the 14 seconds, which is like kind of confusing, because to me that 14 seconds is like almost glaring, and like it definitely stands out, and not just because he's in a clearly digital space, but because his body movements are kind of obvious and his face doesn't look as perfect as the example data in the connecting in the multiverse video.
I mean,
so that I'm like, wait,
I told you I didn't take that one, because I thought you were trying to throw me for a loop by giving me something so obvious, but that doesn't change the result. I still picked the wrong thing, and I'm not going to make any excuses for that.
Which is really cool, actually. That's like the coolest part of this whole thing. I thought this article was going to be a throwaway, because I thought you were just going to pick it immediately.
XPYR says, Linus, all Pixar renders in animation are extremely high resolution. You don't need to deepfake it. Okay, two things. Number one, Shrek is DreamWorks animation, not Pixar. Number two is that I'm not talking about resolution. I would be talking about like photorealism, like the actual textures of it. Just because it's high resolution doesn't mean that it is photorealistic. That just means it has a lot of pixels. A black wallpaper, like just 000 RGB values wallpaper, can be 8K resolution, but there's no it's not photorealistic. It just has a lot of pixels.
I don't think this tech would be used for that.
No, it wouldn't. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But it's the kind of thing that might not be impossible. Like looking at what they did with Jensen, right? Where they had kind of like a cheapo most of the way there model that does the acting or whatever that is animated, and then being able to take a photorealistic capture of him and skin it on top of it. Conceivably, that could be done. Now, you would never actually do it for an animated film, because the hard part of the animation is making the things move naturally, right? Like that's the hard part. So you would never take real people doing a thing, turn it into animation, and then use that animation as a source for a higher resolution, better version of them doing the thing. You would just do it properly in the first place. You wouldn't do it twice. But what I was talking about was, if you were to like try to remaster it, like a cheap and dirty way to replace Shrek with something else or whatever, I think it could conceivably be done once machine learning gets advanced enough. That's all I'm trying to say.
It seems like the wrong tech, but if they want to do it as like an interesting tech demo, I'm sure they could. Steve jumped into YouTube chat, said, I love you, Linus, and did a super chat for $50 just to say ltdstore.com.
Oh, hey, thanks, Steve. And thanks for reminding me to click the viewer activity tab where your super chat is not there, even though it's clearly here at the top of the chat here. Super awesome feature, YouTube. Thank you for, it's been many weeks and this is still broken. Oh, that's hilarious. The other super chat I have, you f***ing cheapskate, Ian, is from Tech Tech Potato, Dr. Cutress. So we know who's generous in the tech community, okay? Generous is Steve, and one-tenth of generous is Dr. Cutress. We also know, you know, I'm just going to say, I think that Anand lived in a pretty nice house, and when he sold the company, I think that he probably got like a super awesome, another nice house as opposed to giving any of it to anyone else. Not that I know anything about that. That's just my guess. That's what I'm guessing based on that Dr. Cutress sent $5 and Steve from Gamers Nexus sent 50. Gamers Nexus, Linus, we have an idea and need to 3D scan you while you T-pose. It's completely safe. Don't worry. It reassembles your atoms on the other side. Hey, thanks, Steve. You know what? I'd be happy to send you a T-pose 3D scan. I just got to get me a 3D scanner. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our next topic for the day.
Yeah.
Newegg. You know, oh, it's great timing because we were about to talk about something that this is a news item that broke when Steve from Gamers Nexus published this video showing Gigabyte power supplies quite literally catching on fire. Not one, not two, but three. I love that. I love the security camera footage mixed in there. That's absolutely beautiful. So what's happening here? And now the problem for me is that as someone who doesn't know exactly how the Newegg shuffle works, I was not able to independently validate this. But so I'm going to say allegedly Newegg has been bundling these power supplies, the P750GM and P850GM, with in-demand graphics cards as a way to dump them onto unsuspecting consumers. Based on Steve's analysis of these power supplies, they are extremely dangerous and unsuitable for consumer consumption, but they are allegedly selling them anyway and trying to kind of, you know, shift them out to people who might not be savvy and or might be desperate to get their hands on a graphics card. Now, that stuff that you saw in the video, let's just go back and let's watch that again. This is not supposed to happen on a correctly functioning power supply. This should be impossible. Power supplies are supposed to have a ton of safety measures built into them. Everything from overcurrent protection to overvoltage protection to undervoltage protection, short circuit protection. It is not supposed to be possible for a power supply to literally spew out sparks and light on fire in that manner. And it's dangerous for obvious reasons. It's supposed to be inside an enclosed metal case. But the reality of it is there are plenty of people who put non-metallic things inside their computers, little stuffies, things like that. And there are also other parts of the inside of your computer that could potentially be flammable, things like plastics. So whenever one of those things doesn't trip, that's what happens. You end up with power supply go kablooey. And it's not just dangerous to your house and your body. It's dangerous to the rest of your components as well. When a power supply dies, it can very easily cause a surge or a spike in voltage that will damage connected components. So you could lose your motherboard. You could lose your CPU. The power supply is directly connected to every component of your computer, and in an ironic twist, you could lose the graphics card that you were trying to buy when you got this bundled power supply. Steve and his team were lucky enough. The sparks didn't go anywhere, and they were not just lucky, but they were wise to be attentive when they were running a power supply test. So that last one that's on their security footage, you can actually see they have the unit hooked up to a load tester. So they were very wise to be sitting there monitoring it while it was running, but you might not be so lucky. Now, here's the thing. it is unlikely that in the course of regular use, most gaming machines would trip any one of those protections. I mean, most gaming rigs pull only a couple hundred or a few hundred watts under full load, except for one small problem. Those power supplies are being actively bundled with some of the only GPUs on the planet that could potentially trip those kinds of protection circuits.
Which is epic.
That's the problem. I mean, aside from, you know, trying to move out a bad moving product. Now, to be clear, this type of strategy is not a new thing. I remember having a really irate conversation with an NVIDIA rep a long time ago, where I basically went like, you know, I was talking about, I was like, yeah, we had a great quarter. We moved X number of these. And they're like, I don't want to hear about how many. And I forget exactly what graphics card it was at the time, but it was when NVIDIA was really struggling. I think it was, man, was it Fermi? I mean, it must have been. NVIDIA was really struggling during the Fermi generation. Or was it, man, was it 280? Was it pre-Fermi? Can't remember. The point was, we were talking about, like, NCIX, one of the anomalies, one of the weird things about it is they moved pound for pound a ridiculously disproportionate number of high-end graphics cards. You know, $600, $700 graphics cards. Remember when that qualified as top of the line? They moved a ridiculously disproportionate number of them in the country for how many people live here, for one thing, and for the size of the business that they did overall. Like, they were kind of like a boutique PC integrator in that way. And I remember getting this, like, irate answer back that's like, well, how many, whatever the equivalent back then of, like, a GT 1030 was, well, how many of those have you moved? Unless you guys can get your numbers up for those, I'm not going to be able to get you any allocation of the good stuff. So what the point I'm trying to make is that it is extremely common for brands and retailers to bundle together hot moving items and other items, whether it's something that is overpriced, and so you're trying to mask the overpricedness on one thing with a discount on another thing.
Yeah.
Whether it is undesirable, hopefully not whether it's dangerous. So yeah, usually overpriced or otherwise undesirable. Oh yeah, and the last reason that you might try to bundle things is because you're trying to hit some kind of quota. So the way the MDF programs work for companies like NVIDIA's, if I recall correctly, didn't work this way, at least for us. But I know for a fact that Intel's did. The way it worked was you had certain quotas that you were supposed to hit for certain either SKUs or product segments. So K, for example, at NCIX, if we sold a, you know, a 2600, we were like, yay, we made $6. But if we sold a 2600K, all of a sudden, yay, we made $6. But also, it contributed towards our quota that we had to hit to get our MDF or our marketing funding that we could spend on activities like NCIX Tech Tips. And by spend, what I mean is it's money that you get allocated on the back end from Intel, and you put it towards approved marketing exercises that you then pay yourself for out of that pool. It's very common. And before the chat blows up, no, it's not exclusive to Intel. AMD has basically the exact same program. Don't kid yourself. Microsoft's program was excellent as well. So that's how you actually make money. I mean, if you're ever wondering why you go into the mom and pop computer store on, you know, Main Street or whatever, and their prices suck and they have no stock and no selection, well, that's why. Because if you don't hit a certain type of volume, you're not a player, and you're not going to make any money, because all you get is the upfront profit. You don't get the back end that actually drives profitability in this business. So this practice is not uncommon, but to do it with an item that is unsafe would demonstrate either abominable ignorance on the part of Newegg and Gigabyte, or at worst, malice, because selling a product bundled with a product that is the most likely thing I can think of to make it fail in the way that would be very bad is terrible. With that said, there are certain manners in which a power supply can be loaded that are extremely unlikely to occur in the real world. So the odds are, if you have one of these power supplies, it's not going to blow up immediately, but the question becomes, do you really want to roll that die? And for me, the answer is no, and the pun was definitely intended. Get it? Roll that die? Because it could light a fire and you could die? Luke's not listening, but it was a very funny joke, and he would have laughed if he'd been paying attention.
Sorry, I'm looking into something ridiculous. Apparently, at 6:29 in the video, and I had to reaffirm this a bunch of times, and the reason why I wasn't listening to you right there was because I was listening to it. But these extremely unstable power supplies that it's bundled with, if one of them pops and you want to RMA it, you have to send in your graphics card as well.
Really?
So they're sending you something they pretty much know is going to become garbage, because like over 50% of the feedback for the graphics card on Newegg's website is people having failures. It's 54% of Newegg reviews is people talking about failures. Apparently it pops at like 60% load. They're just ridiculous. They know it's going to die. And when it dies, you just have to keep your garbage or you have to send your graphics card back.
Oh, wow.
So this is obscene. Like, holy crap. What the heck?
That would indicate that
That sounds like fraud.
That they're very well aware of what was going on, which is...
I believe this is like a previously standing thing. Like, all bundled things have to be returned together no matter what, so even if it's an RMA of one of them.
Was a policy at NCIX, but only if you were returning the item. Not if the item was actually faulty and you were RMAing it for a replacement. That was never the policy, that you had to return both items.
So that's what I was kind of asking the chat, is like, if you're returning it for a replacement, is this still the case? But
can I hit you with a hot take? Can I hit you with a hot take, Luke?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my hot take. Okay. Why is the penalty for attempted murder any less than the penalty for murder?
You penalize people who suck less.
Well, that's exactly it. Just because you suck at murdering someone doesn't mean that you're not a complete asshole.
Yeah, like this seems just super illegal for like a bunch of reasons.
But here's the problem.
Missing something here.
Because of the way, and this is, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. As far as I know, because of the way the law works, until someone's house actually until someone's house actually burns down and they suffer any kind of actual material harm, there's no real practical way to go after them for it. That is my understanding. Like, if you were to try to class action the shit out of Newegg and Gigabyte over this, basically you would have to demonstrate some kind of material harm. And so the most you could possibly hope to get is some kind of compensation for your dead motherboard or CPU or graphics card or whatever else, which Newegg and Gigabyte conveniently make sure won't be an issue, because they take your graphics card back when you report that there's an issue with the power supply. So you've been refunded for it. You've been compensated. But to me, I look at it and I go, well, hold on a second. What about the risk? What about the risk that I never would have signed up for if I had known about this in the first place? What about that? Nothing about that. It's attempted murder, therefore it's no big deal. Why is that? Help me understand this.
I don't know. This is crazy. Apparently Gigabyte has responded and basically been like, not a problem. Apparently they've adjusted the OPP trigger point from 120 to 150%, from roughly around 120 to 150% to roughly around 110 to 120%.
Okay. So over OPP would be overpower models. Protection.
Yeah. And that's on both models, as far as I can tell, the same thing. 120 roughly to 150 roughly, okay. Changed to 110 roughly to 120 roughly.
They are saying the testing is the issue. Now, yeah. I did say that there are ways that you can test a power supply. So, for example, one of the ways that we used to be able to separate the men from the boys back in the early days of high-powered graphics cards was a purely 12-volt test. So you would run the power supply up to its basically entire rated current delivery, or rated power delivery wattage. You would run the entire thing over the 12-volt rail. And lots of power supplies struggled with it because they were designed and validated by the manufacturers with some kind of load on 5-volt and 3.3-volt, because there was other equipment in your power supply that would draw from these rails. And so a mark of a well-designed power supply was that it could deliver basically all of its power on 12-volt without actually drawing from those other rails. So you would hook it up in this artificial sort of way to power supply testing equipment instead of using a computer to test it. And
yeah,
reviewers at the time would kind of disclaim these results. They'd say, okay, look, a good result here is the mark of a well-designed power supply, but it's not representative of the real world. And if a power supply fails this test, that's fine because your computer will use 5-volt and 3.3-volt power anyway. But the reason that they tested it in that way is that they were trying to look forward to a time when the 12-volt rail was going to become more and more and more and more important. So just because the methodology might be what's causing the power supply to blow up, also there's a lot of anecdotal evidence of these things just blowing up in regular use, but just because the methodology might be what causes it to blow up, doesn't mean that there isn't a good reason for that methodology and that it wouldn't point to a deficiency in the design or build quality of the power supply. So Gigabyte is also offering exchanges for these units. So that is good, but you're getting a tweaked one with an overpower protection trigger point that is lower, which basically just means that it's not going to deliver as much peak power, I guess, which to me doesn't really address the problem, which is that these power supplies are failing.
I'm not sure if this is Steve or not necessarily, but Gamers Nexus in YouTube chat says, LOL, Gigabyte's response show they didn't actually understand our testing. We'll look closer at it and comment on Monday or Tuesday, which is great. But also, I would bring us back to the Gamers Nexus slide at 4 minutes and 35 seconds into the video. I wish I watched this before the show. This is super interesting. I'm going to have to watch the whole thing in detail after the show. But
just make sure you set it to 2x speed. It's half an hour.
It's 30 minutes long.
Love you, Steve.
But Steve's testing shows 50% failure. Okay, so there could be something wrong with the testing methodology, whatever. Kind of doubt it. Newegg reviews show 54%. Yes, people are going to respond negatively more often than positively.
Yeah.
Because if you buy a power supply, it shows up and it works, you're decently unlikely to go back and be like, yep, it functions.
Yep.
But you're really likely to say something if your power supply freaking explodes.
Blows up and takes out your motherboard.
Yes. That being said, that practically never happened. So the fact that it is happening, and the fact that 54% of Newegg reviews are this negative, is astonishing.
Fairly damning.
Yeah, yep. I'm not 100% certain what the survey data column is. Again, I haven't watched the full video, but like, this is rough.
We also have a super chat from Steve. He says, regarding the testing, Gigabyte misrepresented us and is twisting it. They claimed we ran it for extended periods, but the failures were actually within 2 minutes almost every single time. They either didn't understand or pretended they didn't. We're going to be replying on Monday.
Also, that's very good. Please reply on Monday. I went to newegg.com, specifically not .ca, because I believe that's where they got these numbers from.
Yeah.
I typed in power supply, and the first two things that came up were EVGA 600 BQ110 and then Seasonic Focus GX850. I'm checking their responses, and everything's basically fine.
Well, yeah.
Yep. There's some issues with like DOA on the EVGA one, but most people are happy with it. And the Seasonic one is rated super highly. Not surprised. Seasonic power supplies are fantastic. And that does not line up with the Gigabyte responses. So there's something non-standard, right? The Gigabyte ones are blowing the heck up, and the other ones aren't.
Actually, yeah, these EVGAs kind of seem to have some issues.
I don't think they're exploding,
too.
Though.
A few of them have apparently popped just like right out of the box. Oh. That's in like the last 10 reviews. There's like three that are saying they popped. They popped off.
They popped off, dude. They're popping off.
Power supply,
man. That's still not anywhere near, not even remotely close to the same percentages as the Gigabyte power supplies. Just to be very clear. If we total together, they're done in eggs on Newegg, not stars. So if we total together the 1, 2, and 3 stars, so I'm assuming you're not going to give a power supply a 4 or 5 star if it explodes on you. If we total all of that together, that equals a percentage of 18.
Yeah.
The Gigabyte ones are at 54. And I also know that there are some other, like some of these one egg ones are like, oh, it showed up DOA, which is bad, but it's not exploding. These are very different things.
Yeah, these are angry customers. This is not a good look. You know, the funny thing about it is we preach, don't cheap out on your power supply, right? Like, don't we preach that?
Yeah. But
you know what I've noticed in the Intel Extreme Tech upgrades is almost, I wouldn't say almost everyone, but a disproportionate number of the people who have gotten Intel Extreme Tech upgrades where they're operating within a fixed budget, trying to get as much tech as they can for the money, have skimped on the power supply. Chase skimped on the power supply and is now, he actually had just a system power down event because he has a 3080 on like a 750 watt power supply. And so he's like, yeah, I'm going to have to buy a new power supply. James skimped on the power supply. He tried to get away with, I forget exactly what card it was, but it was with like a little SFX power supply. And those tend to be more sensitive than a full size power supply to momentary spikes in power draw. And I'm trying to remember who else, but Colton. Colton, I think, cheaped out on the power supply. Like almost everyone, in spite of the fact that we preach this, when push came to shove, they chose FPS instead of smooth, reliable, unsexy power delivery.
I've got two theories here. Let me pick up one of them really quick.
In the meantime, why don't I run through the sponsor spots?
Thanks to ZetApp for sponsoring today's WAN show. ZetApp curates and brings together over 200 paid apps to your Mac for a fraction of the cost. Each app is carefully handpicked to assist in boosting your productivity. Just navigate to a category and get your hands on the best tools to solve your problems all at once. If you're a Mac user and you're looking for ways to get things done more efficiently, ZetApp is worth trying out. There's a 7-day free trial, and then if you like it, it's only $9.99 a month. So sign up for ZetApp and get a free 7-day trial at stpp.co/WANshow or by clicking the link in the description below.
All right. What are we coming back to here, Luke? Hit me.
Okay, so I know Anthony had an Extreme Tech upgrade, but it's been a long time since I watched it. Has like Alex had an Extreme Tech upgrade?
Alex has. I believe he reused his... No, Alex went for a good quality power supply. In fact,
so did Anthony, right?
He used the Seasonic X-Connect, whatever, that case. Beautiful. That has the breakout, like 12-volt only power thing. It was pretty sick.
Cool. Okay, cool. Neat. And Anthony probably got a good one as well, I'm assuming?
Trying to remember, Anthony blew a lot of his budget on like a VR headset and a TV. So I'm trying to remember what his parts list was.
He must have had a computer though.
I'll check.
Is it in here? Oh,
even I'm
processor, motherboard,
RMX 650 watt. So he went pretty. That's a decent power supply, but no, even Anthony wanted to squeeze as much, like he didn't go overkill for sure.
2080 super. Yeah.
For 2080 super. That is
on the line.
That is adequate. That was a calculated savings.
Measured. So
but it was a savings.
Like a really fantastic solution and a very adequate solution from the little bit more techier people out of the people that you listed so far.
Yes.
And I am not surprised.
Yep.
And then what was my other one? Oh, no. Oh, I was going to say, the other thing is maybe it was tactical. because maybe they cranked out the parts that are difficult to get, expensive to get, etc. Knowing
fair.
That potentially the power supply is going to die, but that's not really a big deal
because you can get power supply.
Yeah, they can go buy a solid power supply on their own. So maybe it was a tactical decision.
But the big problem is that your power supply can take out other components. And when that happens, I mean, you will get the runaround. There, I'll say it. You are going to get the runaround because the power supply manufacturer is not going to want to buy you a new graphics card. And the graphics card manufacturer, that is not their fault that you bought a crappy power supply.
Yep.
So nobody is going to want to replace that collateral damage. I have heard of power supply manufacturers that have claimed that they will warranty connected components that are killed by the power supply failure. But one of the issues is that it's really hard to prove it.
Probably not Gigabyte.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
If they didn't hate me enough already. Hey.
All right, let's go ahead and move into our next topic here.
I remember the backplate Gigabyte.
Anthony says, I stand by my choice. The 2080 Super is not a big power sucker. And that's fair. I did say it was an adequate choice. I just said that you clearly didn't buffer, you know? You didn't just go ham on the power supply.
Which is fine.
Calculated.
He's on the line, like I was saying. He's not before the line.
He had an i5 as well. He's
either.
Highlighted i5 in the doc for me here. Highlighted i5. Thank you, Anthony. All right, let's move into our next topic. Have you been injured by a faulty product? Amazon says, don't call a lawyer. Amazon has been taking some flack for safety concerns from third-party sellers following last month's Consumer Product Safety Commission complaint. The CPSC wants Amazon to take responsibility for dangerous products offered by third parties under the Fulfilled by Amazon program, since Amazon is the one who is actually shipping out that product. That's what Fulfilled by Amazon means. It's in Amazon's warehouse, comes with an Amazon sticker on it. So from a consumer standpoint, they're Amazon buying bought, something from Amazon.
Yeah.
Dangerous products that have been shipped in this program include 400,000 hair dryers without the required immersion protection devices. That could be an enormous electrocution risk. 24,000 carbon monoxide detectors
awesome.
That don't work.
Yeah, bit of a fail to alarm, bit of an issue on an alarm.
Numerous children's sleepwear products that are in violation of flammable fabric safety standards. Equals potentially kids on fire. Probably not.
Nice.
In case you guys were wondering, this is actually why we have never done children's clothes on LTT store. Because I'm sure there are plenty of you that would have loved to get a kid-sized like WAN hoodie or something. I want one for, not one, I want three. I want them for my kids. And for the upcoming WAN V2 hoodie, I have actually custom ordered. We measured my kids and we are custom ordering one-offs for each of them. But that's the reason that we've never sold them, because kids' clothing standards are a whole ball of wax. So the CPSC seeks to force Amazon as the distributor to stop selling those products, work with the CPSC on recalls, and direct notice for affected customers. Amazon's initial response was to independently do what the CPSC asked them to, but without collaborating with the CPSC. They just wanted to kind of do it quietly. They're now going a step farther, though. Any product that is purchased on Amazon is covered by a change to the A to Z guarantee as of September 1st. The changes offer $1,000 in starting compensation for injuries caused by faulty third-party items with a theoretical cap of $1 million, limited to the purchase price of the product plus medical expenses, lost wages, and property damage caused by the defective product. Wait a second, this isn't good. These payments will come at no cost to sellers and will usually be resolved within 90 days. This sounds closer to hush money. So they're trying to just settle with everyone before
Yeah, they're asking you to not go to a lawyer and they're trying to pay you off. It is hush money. Yeah. Yep. Which, like, for some people, that's maybe what they want to do. Right. And this doesn't make a difference. You can still go to a lawyer. It's not like you can't go to a lawyer. They're asking you not to, but who cares about that? That doesn't matter.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. So prior to this, Amazon was the only party customers could sue with any expectation of success, because many of these sellers are from foreign countries, often China, and simply do not respond to lawsuits with no recourse available to the plaintiffs. This is an important detail because the CPSC's case against Amazon uses lawsuits like these as evidence. So if there are fewer lawsuits because Amazon is able to quiet them down, there will be less evidence and therefore less likelihood that they will be chased in the event of a catastrophic product failure and someone wanting to sue them over it. Yeah, basically Amazon's money is buying them kind of a, like a liability waiver here. Fascinating. Maybe after a little while, it'll be time for us to talk about your project idea. Maybe once you've made a little bit more progress on it, Luke.
It's tough. Yeah.
All right. It's kind of getting to be time.
More work has been done, but it's tough.
Oh, speaking of work has been done, the LTT store team has been hard at work getting you guys what you demand. We now have spout lids for the LTT water bottle. Woo! Check it out. Look, it's a spout lid. It goes on the LTT water bottle. Also, Luke is working his way through this, but there is going to be a lower price for the spout lid that should show up if you have previously purchased an LTT store water bottle.
And if you add the water bottle and the spout lid to the cart now, there is a lower price for it. You just have to buy the water bottle at the same time. If you have previously purchased a water bottle, like Linus said, should be before the end of tonight, but also 3/7 of all customers have been registered so far, but it's going pretty slowly, but it is there. Customers are being imported and updated that have previously bought the water bottle. And if you're in that lot of people, it will automatically discount the SIP lid when you go to do it. Please give us until at least tomorrow so that I can finish this import.
Yeah.
But if you have previously purchased the bottle,
you should get the discount
tomorrow or later.
Yeah.
If you don't get the discount automatically, customer support can help you.
Yep. So it should be $5 if you've previously purchased a water bottle. Yay! Go team!
Yay!
Thanks, LTT Store team. All right. What else we got for topics today? There's some pretty good stuff. I don't know. This is more of a quick one. Facebook is shutting down researchers that are looking into political ads running on Facebook and how Facebook is targeting them. So Facebook does have tools where they have approved researchers that are allowed to look into these things in approved ways so they can see what campaign ads are running on the platform. But what they can't see without looking at it from the viewer's side, the user's side, is how they're being served. So this was from, I think it was some researchers at New York University. Yeah, New York University. Basically, they created a browser extension that around 16,000 people voluntarily installed that was looking at how Facebook was serving them these ads. Facebook shut down the extension, shut down their API access, and even terminated their personal accounts. Really do not want third-party independent researchers looking at this stuff because they might not like what they find, allegedly, probably. We don't have confirmation of that because Facebook doesn't allow third parties to audit how they're serving political ads. So that's pretty cool. Thanks, Facebook. You're awesome. This I mentioned briefly earlier. There's a House bill that takes aim at iOS and Android App Store competition. The Open App Markets app basically validates what Epic's been saying, what I've been saying, what Apple fanboys seem to be pushing back against because they have some kind of weird Stockholm syndrome that I really don't understand. The App Store is a monopoly, basically. It's like a... It's not quite a monopoly, yes, because the Google Play duopoly. Store also exists, but thank you, Luke. That's just called a duopoly. And there are certain things that, you know, are fair points. You know, Apple and Google, these are their stores, and they're allowed to run them the way that they want. The problem is that when they run afoul of antitrust law, that there are consequences for running them the way that they want. And so it looks like those consequences might finally be coming. So what this ultimately ends up looking like for consumers outside of America, probably nothing for the time being, because there's no way Apple and Google are going to voluntarily roll out changes to things like the cut that they take from developers, or forcing developers to use their payment processor, which conveniently includes their 30% cut. There's no way they're going to roll these out in other territories voluntarily, so it'll be America only, at least for the time being, and it'll probably take quite a while. I don't think they're going to expect them to flip a switch automatically, but in time in America, the hope is that this would lead to third-party app stores, which would lead to competition for your app buying and V-Buck buying dollars or whatever it is that you buy, which would in turn lead to Apple and Google slashing their rates and or being more competitive with respect to allowing multiple payment processors and all those kinds of things.
Now, if you want to look into why things like duopolies can be really bad, and if you've only heard of a monopoly and how that can be bad, and you're like, duopoly, well, that's two companies. Of course there's competition there. There's competition in much more than just two companies as well. Whenever the space gets small enough, and that isn't necessarily one or two, things can get really bad. There's a very, very good video that I've referenced on this show before, but I didn't know the name of it, and I do now. It's called This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things by Veritasium. Lewis Rosman is the highest comment under the videos, basically saying, thank you, you planted a seed today about right to repair, all this kind of stuff. It's a really good video, and it talks about why light bulbs suck. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's actually a great video. Basically, planned obsolescence is a thing.
And it's something that's taught in schools, which was something that was revealed to me after the last time we talked about this. They have planned obsolescence courses in different schools. It's interesting.
It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of sickening, especially when you consider how much waste light bulbs have created over the decades.
Yep. It's
horrible. Oh, man. In more cool, exciting news, the ECC listing of a graphics processors of the ASUS trademark has an interesting model name, the RTX 3070-8G-Noctua.
Noctua.
That's going to be pretty sweet. We don't know what it'll look like, probably nothing like this, but here's a render of what an ASUS X Noctua graphics card might look like, and 10 out
it
of 10.
Actually looks pretty cool. I seriously doubt it will look anything like that.
10 of 10.
I suspect it's just going to be usage of fans. I don't think it's going to have like a big Noctua badge on it and stuff.
Invite to the backseat of my car after prom.
Yeah, I think it looks great. It's a cool render.
Yeah, looks fantastic.
Whoever made that should be proud. I don't think that's what it's going to look like, but I'd be happy to eat my words.
I expect it to perform awesome. I mean, Noctua is still king when it comes to fan performance. They were recently dethroned by, who was it? Dethroned Noctua fan. Oh, who is it? Was it not Deep Cool? Be Quiet, maybe?
Really? Hopefully it's not as horrible to install as their.
Here it is. Fantex. Here we go.
Oh!
This fan. But they kind of hacked because it's 5 millimeters thicker. Which, when you consider how much of a fan is the structural frame at the back and how much of it is the actual blade, being 5 millimeters thicker on a 25 millimeter fan is actually more than just being 20% thicker in terms of the actual spinning part. It's like probably closer to like 25% thicker. So it does beat the NF-A12X24, but if I'm Noctua, I'm probably going to be pretty pissy about this, and I'm going to do a 30-millimeter fan of my own. And then all of a sudden, 25-millimeter fans as the standard are going to be dead, and all your cases are going to be obsolete because they won't fit modern fans, and the case is going to get bigger and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, these things happen.
It's interesting that they're basically like making a new market segment, though.
You know what? I changed my mind. I don't feel like talking about Samsung Unpacked. I already said everything I have to say about the Z Fold 3, which is super exciting. Absolutely love it. I just need the YouTube app to work properly, and then I will happily daily drive it. It's amazing. The Z Flip 3 is still what I think it is. It's a phone that I don't understand why it exists. It's a novelty item. If you want a screen that shape, then you should just use a candy bar phone. I'm sorry, I don't get it. Maybe I'm wrong. Feel free. I'm sure Austin Evans is probably like online too, trying to argue with me about this. If I recall correctly, he's one of the people who thinks that the Z Flip series is really cool. I don't get it, but it's also water resistant like the Fold is now. That's a big improvement over the last generation. The new Galaxy Watch 4 and Galaxy Watch 4 Classic are here. I'm kind of tempted to give them another try. I mean, I've been wearing this Apple Watch for so long that the meme is kind of dead. It's not connected to anything, guys. It's just a watch. And also, I broke the screen on it with my badminton racket. I followed through on a swing and whacked it, and it cracked all the way across. So it's seen better days. Maybe it's time to send it into the shop for repairs and then put it in the LMG store, which is not to be confused with the LTT store, not lttstore.com. I mean, when we have like dead or repaired items or like half working items, people at work will often buy them for a steep discount. And there's Galaxy Buds 2 for $149, available August 27th. I wouldn't mind taking a crack at as well. These are an upgraded Galaxy Buds Live with better active noise cancellation, apparently. So that's pretty much it for the big topics for the WAN show today. Was there anything else that you wanted to hit, Luke?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. Yeah,
we're good.
All right, let's do some super chats then, shall we? Yes. I only have the ones after I clicked that tab because YouTube is broken. Thanks, YouTube. GeoBear says, really enjoying your home automation videos. You mentioned that even for you as a techie person, it can be overwhelming. Will LTT cover communication protocols and recommended devices and why you chose Z-Wave for your house? I chose Z-Wave partly because it's got better range without requiring hops. The 900 megahertz does have better punch-through ability when you've got lots of walls or lots of floors in your house. And mostly I chose it because the light switch that I like happened to be Z-Wave, and everything else I've been looking at has a good option available that's Z-Wave. And also I don't care about Z-Wave versus Zigbee because I'm using Home Assistant. And with Home Assistant, you can actually have two separate sticks and you can use them both. And you can integrate them and have them trigger each other in various ways. So there you go. All right. Cheesy Pie says, Z Flip is going to be a godsend for my tiny pockets as a woman. The exterior display was the biggest thing holding me back. I pre-ordered. You know what? There it is. That is me. That is me getting f-ing told.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely destroyed by words. So
because it might bulge out a little bit more.
Yep.
But there is a lot of like women's pockets issues where they're just really, really shallow.
Yep. And so, you could say, okay, women, just get pants with a bigger pocket, but they can't.
Yeah.
I've looked at women's pants. I was like, well, why don't they just have bigger pockets? And they just don't. So, all right.
I have heard that it's because they, I don't know, but I've heard that the manufacturers don't do it because they think they'll sell less because it makes unflattering curves. But like, given how excited most of the ladies that I know get about dresses with pockets or like pants with properly functioning pockets or whatever else, I feel like you'd sell more if you just made proper freaking pockets. But
do you remember do you remember that horrible trend in like 2001, 2002, those awful pants that had no back pockets? Women's pants. Oh. They were like the ugliest thing ever. They looked so stupid.
My favorite pants and my favorite shorts have no back pockets, but they have many and large pockets elsewhere. So it doesn't really matter.
Man, how do I find this? Okay, that's a lot of pictures of butts on my screen. You know what? I don't need this very much. All right.
Two of Vaughn walking in.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need that either. Okay, what else we got here? Zach says, love the water bottle, but the gold print on the top, so faded after 2-ish years, about to get another. Okay, it has been a couple of years. And what we have found is that some users have that issue, others do not. And it seems like it might have to do with the pH of your like finger oils. So just something to consider. We don't have the same print fading issues with any of the other ones, and the print fading issue is not that widespread. Just reach out.
Change the pH of your fingers.
What? No, I didn't say that.
I know. I'm just memeing.
I said buy a different color. And if you have issues with it, you can contact customer support and they'll help you out.
The customer support at LTT store are pretty awesome.
Zovastria says, can confirm. Back in November 2020, I snagged a 3090 bundle with a P850 GM. Luckily, I sold the power supply to someone else.
Oh,
luckily for them.
Yeah.
Nick also says, we updated to a new gold ink about 18 months ago that is less prone to fading. So there you go.
Nice.
Okay. But Dennis says, keep in mind that the power supply fan is often facing down and sparks could literally fly out of the computer onto your carpet if you have your computer down on the floor. That is an excellent, excellent point. Nardstorm says, first time catching the show live. Just started my career as a network engineer, and I'm taking inspiration from you for my personal setup. I want to add a NAS to my server rack. Any recommendations for NAS servers? Build your own. Get a rack mount case and just build a computer. Servers are just computers.
Yeah.
Gamers Easy Price. Here to outbid Gamers Nexus with a super chat of $69.69. Have you guys tried Flight Sim on the Series X yet? I have not. As for why, because I have a PC. So I just wasn't any reason for me to do it at this time.
Apparently Gamers Nexus lost a GPU in their video.
Ooh, that is very unfortunate.
That's a massive yikes.
Jason Schreiner says, attempted is less than the actual crime. Crime and government, the two places that routinely reward failure. All right. That's pretty funny. Gamer Easy Price says, just got to even out the good old bank account. Don't mind me. Sends $30.31 for an even $100 of super chats. All right. Thanks, Gamer Easy Price.
Very nice.
Josh says, I got a Corsair HX1000i, even though I max at 500 because I don't want a bomb in my expensive system. Fair enough. Sam Laird says, what is your opinion on Microsoft and Intel dropping support for S3 Sleep? All 11th gen Intel mobile CPUs now only support modern standby. This heavily hurts sleep battery life in Linux and to a lesser degree in Windows. I actually had not looked into this issue at all. Thank you for putting it on my radar, though. Joshua says, this is stupid, but I have recommended at least a few times to change out the cable to a few power supplies because the cable provided heated up. This should not happen. Yeah, it's an excellent point. That was another really funny thing. Back in the days of when 80 plus was first kind of hitting the market, so 80 plus certified power supplies, there were some assumptions that just because something was 80 plus certified, it meant it was quality. You can build a high efficiency power supply that is not actually very good quality in other ways. It could have very high ripple. It could have, you know, like we say, it could be lacking or have incorrectly configured overpower protection. There's lots of other things that could be wrong with it. And one of the big scams back in the early days of 80 plus was manufacturers certifying their power supplies with cables that were different than what the consumer would actually receive. So like higher gauge cables. So that was a pretty funny one back in the day. Got to keep an eye on those manufacturers. Hey, Dr. Cutra sent another £5 super chat. Anon took his money, and I only got a full-time job after he left. Okay, I was kind of dancing around the situation when Anon sold Anon Tech because I wasn't sure if I was what, if anything, I was supposed to know about it. So there you go. You've got it direct from Ian himself. Anon took the money. I got a job. I'm not cheap. I'm just only on 50,000 subs as a proportion. My super chats are awesome. Plus, plus. Yeah. You know what, yeah. Ian? Thank you very much. Thank you for the super chat. Next time you're live and I catch it, I'm going to be sure to send you a super chat back.
Also, I miss you.
Yeah, I know, right? We got to get together, dude. What am I looking at here? Oh my gosh. Why do we have so many super chats today? It's because we acknowledged them early in the show. Crap. This is too many. Okay, guys, I'm only going to do a handful more. We don't do super chats on this show. Kinestic says, video idea, the most dangerous PC in the world, a combination of physically dangerous hardware. It is thankfully difficult to find legitimately dangerous hardware.
You should do like the BS machine and just find, like, build a computer out of like either things that are dangerous or things that had like false claims, like, or misleading claims,
false advertising,
or just things.
Well, we have that stupid motherboard recently that claimed to have USB ports that like pulled faster or something.
Nice.
Toxic Bullet XNL says, "Hey Linus or Luke, I was looking at float plane supporters, and what's the difference between LTT supporter or supporter plus? If I recall correctly, it is 4K resolution.
4K!
Also, there's going to be a change for float plane supporters.
Ah.
We are formally going to be doing away with early access. We're going to focus instead on behind the scenes and, mostly on behind the scenes and exclusive content, because the reality of it is we haven't been able to keep up with it for the better part of 6 months now. And we feel like it's hurting our competitiveness to be so far behind certain hot news topics. I do think you can expect to see posts early on Floatplane still very often, but we're not going to have a commitment to have it be early anymore.
I also think my understanding here is that you guys are going to be pushing a little bit more in those departments.
Yes. So that's going to be a key part of Madison's role, is making sure that we're keeping up on things like behind the scenes and exclusive content.
Which, in my opinion, I might be a little biased here, genuinely this time, but in my opinion, that's actually even cooler, because now you're getting like more and specifically interesting content that like might not do super well on the main channel, so I don't want to release it there, but you can get it on Floatplane. And the early access thing is like pretty neat, but like, whatever, you know?
Okay, Gondomar says, finally, lol, you haven't done early access for years. That's actually not true. It's been less than a year, and we were very consistently early for the entire rest of Floatplane.
Yeah, Gondomar.
Come on.
I'm pretty sure I know who that is.
But it has been very, very difficult lately. Asasoft says, has Luke ever talked about the tech stack behind Floatplane? I would absolutely love to hear about it. Yes, but not for a long time.
I mean, it hasn't really changed. We do a lot of things at Floatplane. So it's not as simple as like, yeah, these are the like three or four languages that we use, because we use a ton. Because we do a lot of things, because we don't just like, we're not just a payments platform, but we do payments. We're not just a video platform, but we do video. We're not just a streaming platform, but we do streaming. Blah, 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 blah. We do tons and tons of different things, but it's mostly like JavaScript.
And they also do other things, like working on LTTstore.com. They're working on an internal, they're working on customizing an open source inventory management tool for us right now. So they're kind of, they're this thing, but then they're also the only people we know how to program anything. So
we do a lot of stuff. We wear a lot of hats. It's mostly like mean stack related, I would say. But yeah, there's lots of other things. We have infrastructure people that barely have anything to do with that kind of stuff. We do lots of stuff, but it's mostly mean stack related, mostly JavaScript related.
JKeys Design says, I was repairing an HP G7250 and I was surprised by the repairability of the laptop. There was a video made by HP outlining the process of replacing nearly all the parts, including the screen and battery. I was interested that HP had this much support. That's really cool. Thank you for drawing our attention to that. Here's the specifications thing. I don't actually see any of these resources here, but presumably it's not that difficult to find. So yeah, that's super cool. What else we got? We got a couple more. Is the beard permanent? It's here until it's not here, I think, at this point. Thanks, Luca. Prince Alberts asks, why not LTT women's pants with pockets? Okay. We would love to do, at the very least, you know, unisex pants, but pants are really difficult because, you know, you can kind of get away with not having tall sizes for shirts, like just wear a size up and it like kind of hangs a little baggier. You cannot get away with that for pants. Andrew Wada says, should I get an S21 Ultra or a Z Fold 3? The massive screen on the Fold would be nice with my bad eyes, but the lack of dust resistance worries me. I wouldn't have the lack of dust resistance be what holds me back from a Fold 3. I mean, the price could hold you back, but I wouldn't say dust. I mean, it should be in your pocket most of the time. You shouldn't have a whole lot of dust settle on your phone. SJ Hockey asks, I noticed your videos mention Unraid and Proxmox a lot. Which do you recommend? Horses for courses. I run some NAS VMs on an HP DL380P server for a small business and was wondering if Unraid offers anything over Proxmox feature set wise for NAS. Well, what they offer is Unraid. So you should do a little bit more digging. If you're experienced enough to do what it looks like you're doing, you should be able to understand it pretty easily. But what you want to look into is what differentiates Unraid from the normal type of RAID that most NASs offer. That's really their special sauce, along with really painless device pass-through for a VM.
And just in case you didn't grow up in rural countryside, horses for courses is like right tool for the right job, using the right thing to do the right thing. Use the right type of race course for the right type of race.
Yeah, they're both great, is what I'm trying to say. It just depends on the situation.
Yeah.
All right. I think that pretty much wraps it up for the WAN show. Nick did message me to say we are apparently working on some women's sweats. So there you go.
Oh,
that's something that is in the works. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We will see you again next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Bye.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Linus, use an iPhone 12 Pro LiDAR scanner. We need the T-pose. Says not interested in YouTube chat. That's a really good idea. I should totally send that over. I've got one right here. Send that over to Steve.
Can we talk about the Kafka stuff? I don't have a specific way for them to reach out.
Let's do it next week.
Okay. Yeah.
Because this is like the very end of the show. Let's do it at the beginning.
Also like other things we need to figure out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do it at the beginning of the show. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
So many comments. OMG, thank you for explaining that saying, Luke.
The only reason why I did it was because I thought they might not have properly caught it, so they wouldn't be able to Google what it was.
Got it. All right. Okay, we're done now.